This is a podcast from the Canadian Youth Delegation to the UN Climate Change Negotiations. Welcome to the third daily podcast from the CYD. Negotiations continued today, with some CYD members following what happened inside the conference center, while others ventured over to the People's Assembly, Klima Forum, and still others were hard at work working on actions, media, and compiling our daily newsletter. We'll start with the policy update from the negotiations. I'm here with Adam Scott, CYD alumnus, to get some perspectives on where we're sitting with policy in now that we're into the second day of negotiations. So Adam, first day was a lot of pomp and circumstance, opening ceremonies. We finally got into some of the meat of the negotiations. At the end of the day, Japan was given the Fossil of the Day award, given to the country who was the most regressive at the climate talks today. What did Japan do to deserve this award?
So the reason Japan got a fossil today is in plenary they stated their position that they would not agree to a second commitment period for the Kyoto Protocol. This means that Kyoto would be dead. And I find that ironic because Japan obviously hosted the Kyoto summit back in 1997, which led to Kyoto being implemented. So I guess times have changed for Japan. What they're proposing as an alternative is the Copenhagen Accord, which is actually just a political agreement. It's extremely vague, sets no real targets, and has no legally binding mechanisms.
Members of the Canadian Youth Delegation met with Canada's lead negotiator, Guy Saint-Jacques, today. Did we get any sense from that meeting of where Canada stands on the Kyoto Protocol issue?
Well, it's very clear at the moment that Canada does not want to take on binding emissions targets and have a serious international climate treaty. And so they're supporting Japan in blocking the Kyoto Protocol. At the moment, they haven't spoken out in plenary about this. But they're doing so by supporting heavily the Copenhagen Accord as the only way forward.
Great. Thanks a lot, Adam.
No problem.
When I first signed up for the Canadian Youth Delegation, I imagined myself in a suit jacket and dress pants meeting with negotiators at the United Nations climate change negotiations. This morning, however, when I stepped out of the taxi into the jungle an hour outside of Cancun, there was nowhere else that I would rather have been. Klima Forum is a people's assembly that complements the United Nations negotiations by bringing together community members and civil society representatives from around the world to discuss how we can work as individuals, communities, and part of an international movement to find solutions to climate change. I had the honor of speaking with Candy Mossett of the Indigenous Environmental Network. We only have time for an excerpt of the interview here, so be sure to check out the entire interview online at CanadianYouthDelegation.wordpress.com. I'm here at Klima Forum with Candy from the Indigenous Environmental Network. Thanks so much for taking the time to meet with me.
And thank you for asking me to.
You're welcome. Can you talk a little bit about how Indigenous peoples are impacted more by climate change than maybe some other communities?
Well, from my perspective, I come from a community where it's on a reservation in the United States. And as such, there are certain loopholes that corporations like Halliburton or like Marathon can come onto the reservation and they don't have to have the same permits and things that they need to have off the reservation. They don't have to write in a full environmental impact assessment or environmental impact statement. They only need an environmental assessment.
You talked in your presentation about an oil refinery in your community and you said the oil in that oil refinery would be coming from the tar sands. Can you talk a little bit about that project and what it might mean for your community?
What's on the table now to be proposed is an oil refinery to be built on our reservation. So the idea behind this facility was that in Fort McMurray in Alberta, Canada, where Indigenous people lived, they don't live there anymore because it's so contaminated and polluted and looks like moon craters that they had to be moved. They're going to take those oil sands, those thick bitumen oil, pipe it down to this proposed refinery, and then refine the oil there. So we get all the pollution, right? And then the energy goes elsewhere because North Dakota doesn't have that many people. We don't have a very good setup environmental department and money and resources to regulate this. And the big corporations know that. And that's why they target our people. And not only is it us, but it's also the Indigenous people up in Canada where they're taking this resource from. But we've been fighting that project since 2000. So obviously, you know, we're doing something right because they said in 2002 it was going to be built. They said 2 years ago it was going to be built. And it's still not built.
I'm going to close with a more personal question. Where do you find the strength to do this kind of work? Because I know that it can sometimes be really, really challenging to be working with these issues day in and day out.
It's always challenging, and it's really hard. But the strength comes from my community members, my people that are at home that aren't able to travel here, people that are sick, people that have had cancer. I'm a cancer survivor. I had cancer when I was 20. It was a really rare stage 4 sarcoma to be. And so I think that happened to me for a reason. And I think that I'm here for a reason. Like, I was meant. I always told my mom, I was like, I have no talent. Like, I'm not a gymnast. I'm not a good basketball player. Like, I can't sing. And she goes, you have the gift of gab. And it used to be funny because it used to get me into trouble in school all the time. And now I'm starting to realize the power of a person being able to talk. I have to do this. I have to speak up on behalf of myself and my people because we're literally dying. We're burying at least 1 to 3 people every month from cancer, and that is not normal. And so I have to fight. I don't feel like I have a choice not to. And so the place I get the strength is through my friends and my family, and then coming to these things and meeting people like yourself, meeting people that actually have the same idea and care as much as I do. That's what keeps me going.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. And take the knowledge with you. Take it home and get it out there and spread the message, because as we find our connections and we find our networks, we're going to find our strength.